Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Before I get into the content today, today is Vision Builders Sunday, and I'm just going to kind of just share from my heart today about things for this upcoming year. But before I do that, last weekend we did something we've never done before in the history of our church. We had Christmas Eve services. That isn't unusual for us, but the number of Christmas Eve services was the most we've ever done. We had 5 Christmas Eve services, and before I got into the message, I just want to kind of report back to you. And first, I want to say this. There were so many people who served to make a Christmas Eve possible. I want us to thank all of the people who served and volunteered to make that go. Can we honor them, please? Will you help me honor them? Thank you all for serving. We reached the most people we've ever reached in a Christmas season. It was the most transformational weekend for Christmas in the history of our church. We actually reached 30% more people in 2017 than we did in 2016 at Christmas time. And so all of our effort was definitely worth it. And so I just wanted to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for making it possible. Thank you for bringing folks. Thanks for bringing yourself. And we just had a really, really amazing time. I want to share a couple thoughts with you today, and I want to do some things that we don't normally do. I want you to see some of our staff and say hello to them. But let me go through a couple things real quick before I get into Vision Sunday. Next week we're going to start a brand new message series called Detox, and I've never spoken on this subject before, and I'm really excited to get into this. All of us have some things in our worlds that are contaminating our life and our lives, and God wants to help us get those things out, both spiritually, relationally, physically, financially. So we're going to cover the whole gamut of the first of the year. I just really felt led of God that we really talk about this subject, and so it's going to be awesome. So just don't miss it. Just come. And then next Sunday we start our 21 days of prayer, and we will have prayer on Wednesday night and Saturday night. In fact, this week is our first Wednesday, so we will still do first Wednesday prayer this week, and then Sunday we'll begin our 21-day prayer journey. If you want more information about that beyond what you've received through the video announcements, you can go to morelifechurch.com/prayer and check out what that means. So what I wanted to do before we get into the message today is I wanted you all to have a chance to say hello and see our church staff. And our church is blessed with an incredible team of leaders and people who are have such capability and do so well at serving us. You may have names and not faces, or you may have faces and not names. And so I wanted to make that connection, and also wanted to do my part to let you know kind of what their area of responsibility is, because you might see someone and say, what exactly does that person do and what are they responsible for? And so on the beginning of this time together, I wanted you to see that. So Daniel, why don't you come? You all see Daniel all the time. We love Daniel. Daniel does an incredible job leading us in worship, and we're thankful for Daniel. And I just wanted to say this, that of all the things that you see that he does really, really well, that's only the tip of the iceberg about what Daniel brings to our church family. He's the one that really takes my crazy ideas and fleshes them out into real life. And so he does a lot of hard work to figure out how to get from point A to point Z when I just really give point A subpoint one, and then I disappear, and he has to figure the rest out. He understands exactly what that means, and he does it really, really well. And he took a risk on us over 8 years ago. He did his formal training in sunny Southern California. How many know you've got to hear God to go from L.A. to Newark, Ohio? Come on, somebody, you've got to hear God on that. And so we're really thankful. I look for leaders and what they can offer and what they can bring, and constantly aware that it's my responsibility to add to our team capable people. And I want you to understand that as if you were to look all over, you will not find a more capable young leader than Daniel, and our church is blessed to have him on the team. So Daniel, for you and Janet, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. I love you, man. Thank you. Jeremiah Clark, would you come and come on up. Jeremiah is over our communications and our finance, and so his responsibilities really lie with anything that is involved in the hard work of making sure we get the word out and it's seamless. He's in charge of all of our video content, our announcements, our social media, our website, our live streaming, our podcasts. In addition to that, he oversees all of our finances as well, and so he does an incredible job. Let me just ask this question: how many of you have ever watched one of our Thursday's thoughts? Have you ever? Let me see your hands. Have you ever watched one of our Thursday's thoughts? Okay, it's a lot of you. That Thursday thought came from Jeremiah. That was Jeremiah's idea for us to do that. And I just want you to know that some of my best ideas are other people's ideas that I steal and that we use. And actually, Jeremiah has led the charge in our Thursday's thought. In 2017, all of our Thursday's thoughts combined have right at or just over 100,000 views for the year. So he is really helping us reach into corners of the world that we couldn't otherwise reach. Jeremiah's incredible example of a person who's high capacity in what he does. Love you, man. Appreciate you and Kelly. Love you. Darren Hayes has overseen our next generation, and now he's kind of transitioning as the building project comes more to the forefront of now that the design phase is done. That's kind of where I kind of had a voice in that and kind of set some things there. That now Darren, we've always known that Darren would come alongside and kind of oversee the boots on the ground to make sure that they're adhering to the vision. In addition to that, if you've never had the opportunity to be in a small group or a class or a service when Darren has taught the word, I want you to know you're missing out. The next time he's doing something like that, you really need to avail yourself to it, because I don't know a better Bible teacher than Darren Hayes, and we're totally blessed to have him here. He does an incredible job in that. But on the building project, any concerns or questions, any criticism or complaint, it's Darren@morelifechurch.com if you want to send an email, and he'll handle it. But Darren actually was one of Angie and I's youth leaders when we were in high school, so it's cool how God works things out, and we love Darren and Chris, and we're honored that they're on our team. I love you, man. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Eric and Anna Marie Frazier, you're up next. Eric and Anna oversee our children's and our next gen, our students, and they do an amazing job. Eric and Anna have been on board with us for 12 years. We connected with them when they were 10 years old, and they've done a good. No, I'm just kidding. But they've done this for 12 years now, and they oversee all of the children's. And they actually are from Newark, but they moved away and were serving in a church and felt led to come here and help us as we've kind of gone through the stages of our church. And they've been here ever since, and they've done an incredible job with our kids and our students. And we love you guys, and we're blessed that you are a part of it. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but I am. Congratulations on your growing family. They're expecting, so that's pretty exciting. We love you guys, and glad you're on the team. Love y'all. Yeah, love y'all. Next, I'm going to invite my wife to come and join us. My wife. Come on, baby. So this is something new for Angie and I. 2017 has been kind of a transition for us to where I'm going to take my time and do this well, because when we go home, I want it to be okay. For the first part of our church family, and I'll show you a photo here in a minute, Angie and I really both agreed that at that time her main assignment was to be a mom to our kids. And it's an incredibly responsible, high calling that God places on parents, on moms and dads. And so, you know, we just felt like we both agreed, we talked about it, like that needs to be my number one focus, Josh, and really working in the church is not the priority right now. I need to be with our kids. And as our kids have grown, they've required less and less management. And so Angie's had a little bit more time to be able to for us to walk alongside each other more closely in church. And I just want to say it this way. You might not see what Angie does, but I promise you, every time you come into this place, you feel the effects of her ministry to you all because she is the person who will say things to me that nobody else can or should say. And it's all right, you know, but she's also the person who knows me the best. And we talk and we interact. And you know, just because you go home, y'all understand this from your vocations. Just because you go home doesn't mean work stays at work. Sometimes it goes home. And we try to do our very best to protect our home from that, like I hope you do, not because there's something we don't want our families to know, but just because we need to be present for our families. And so we work that way and kind of bounce that stuff off of each other and kind of ratchet things down and debrief and decompress and all that stuff. And so I'm looking forward to the 2018 year. I can't wait to see what God has next. Someone says, well, what exactly does Angie do at the church? Well, the biggest thing you need to know is she manages me really, really well. And that's a blessing to everybody here. So I love you, baby. Look, you didn't see it. She's done it every service. No, I'm serious. You didn't see a look in her eye, but that's a look in her eye when she wants to make out with me. Come on. Hey, maybe later. Depends on how you behave. Yeah. Moving along. I want to announce. Sorry. I like to have fun. I hope you do too. I want to announce this next individual is a new full-time staff pastor that today is Larry Miller's very first day as a full-time staff at More Life Church. And we're so excited about this. And come up here with me, Larry. It's been such a long time in the works. It's several years. In fact, 20 years ago, Larry and April led a small group that Angie and I participated in. And so they were some of the very first leaders in a setting where we could find freedom and take the masks off and be ourselves. And they led us through that process. And Larry is going to have the responsibility of care and connection, as well as he oversees all of our first impressions. He also oversees, he will oversee connect groups. He will oversee marketplace ministry, which is a version of outreach that we're finding language for to get out into the community and do kind of outreach in a kind of a, what's the word, a creative way that allows us to connect with just work world. And so how many of you think that's a lot for one person to oversee? Yeah, it is. And so he needs your prayer. He needs your prayers. But the reason why he got all of those assignments is he was absent the day I was giving out responsibilities. He wasn't in that meeting. And that's a true story. That's a true story. And so here's the point. Don't miss a meeting that Josh is leading because you're going to get stuff. No. He's equipped for this. And I'm so excited that Larry gets to be on board with us. And his first bit of action will be all of the staff need to be at a boot camp training tomorrow morning at 4 a.m. And he's going to lead it. I'm not going to be there, but they're all going to do that together. How many think that's a good idea? No, that's not going to happen. So we love you guys. Give it up for Larry Miller and the whole team. Thank you guys. I love you all. Thank you. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for doing what you do so well. So today, thank you for giving me time to do that. I thought that was important just because, you know, some of you want to know who's responsible for what and who do I go to if I have a question or a concern and so on and so forth. And I hate when people ask me a question and they feel like they're being passed off. But quite honestly, the responsibilities here have just grown so far beyond my reach and capacity that help is just absolutely necessary. Let me just tell you something. I love that noise right now because how many days old is your baby? 5 days old. Wow. Congratulations, guys. Didn't even miss a Sunday. You all are crazy. That's awesome. That baby has perfect church attendance. That's amazing. That's awesome. Congratulations, guys. So today on Vision Builder Sunday, usually on Vision Sunday, I will really discuss things that are goals, things that I see for the upcoming year. And I can be kind of I can be fairly high on the task orientation side of my thinking. Like, I see tasks and I want to get those tasks done. I want to make my list and I want to check it off. Anybody like me on that? Yeah, like you just got to get after it. And I have this thing about me that I feel a sense of purpose and value often based on what I actually do, what I can accomplish. And it's kind of a flaw because God sees us way beyond what we accomplish. He doesn't see what we do. He sees what Christ has done in us and that we're supposed to live out of that. And so today I'm trying to make an adjustment in my communication and conversation with you. And what I really want to do is I just want to kind of share God's heart with you about people and God's vision for us and how we as a church can help you live out God's vision for your life, which is kind of a flip-flop. Usually, what I've usually done is I've usually said, hey, here's my vision. Why don't you come help me? And I'm feeling like that needs to change some. What I need you to see is what is God's vision for your life, help empower you and equip you to do that so that you can make a difference. I'll give you the punchline. So that you can make a difference in the world around you. In order to do that, I want to show you where I've come from. My grandmother, she'll be 91 in February. And if you've been here very long, chances are you've heard me talk about my grandmother. She immigrated to this country. It'll be 60 years this spring that she came to the United States on a boat, 11-day boat journey with my aunt, my uncle, and my mom 60 years ago this upcoming spring. And so I wanted you to kind of see a picture of my grandma. This is my Nani. That's what I call her, is Nani. She'll be 91, and she made this amazing feast of Italian food when we got to her house on Friday. And we sat there and we told stories, or she told stories. We just asked questions and she just told us all kinds of stories. She told us a story about that I never remember hearing before. She told us the story of how during World War II, how she remembers when the United States servicemen arrived in her village and emancipated her little village from the fascist regime during World War II in Italy under Mussolini. And she talked about how the American soldiers were just like bigger than life, and the Italian people had American flags that they were waving in the streets, and the American soldiers were handing out chocolate bars and cigarettes, and everybody was down in the streets. And my grandpa, he was 14 years old. He was right in the middle of it. He was getting cigarettes and he was getting chocolate bars. And I can tell you a little bit about my grandpa. And she told us all these stories about her upbringing, how she was seasick for 11 straight days on their journey here with an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old under her care and under her watch. She remembers how they came in into the harbor and passed by Lady Liberty and went to Ellis Island as they found their way home into a little small town in northern Ohio. And I think about that, and it's just kind of amazing how God does things, that I'm just one boat ride away from being fluent in Italian and not knowing any of you. And it's just kind of crazy, you know? It's just kind of crazy how they took a risk. They took a gamble, and how I guess that's maybe why I don't think life is supposed to be safe. I see the challenges that my grandparents went through, and listening to their stories. And one of the stories that I haven't told any of the other services was they were so poor. Her mother died when she was 11. When my grandmother was 11, she had tuberculosis, and she had 3 siblings who were younger than her. My grandmother's mom died of TB. And at 11 years old, they were so poor that my grandmother was sent to a city in another city far from theirs and became a nanny for a family who had some means. She at 11 years old was raising a 6-month-old baby as their nanny. Just a very, she said, if that were to happen today, people would be arrested. And she's absolutely right. And I just can't help but marvel at what I think what I think is the greatest generation to ever walk on this blue marbled planet. And to think that she took a risk and my grandpa took a risk and they did all that hard work so that we, you know, so that my family and I could be doing this. Just one generation from another country to see what God has done is just absolutely amazing. So that's just a little bit about like what I'm thankful for and what God has brought us through and who he's used. And I'll wrap that up here in just a second. I'll tie that together. This next picture is a picture of me and my mom. This is at my sister's wedding. Let me just ask a question. Would you be interactive with me for just a minute? How many of you, had a chance to meet my mom? Would you just lift your hand if you never met my mom in person? Would you leave it up for just a second? Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. My mom was an amazing lady. You'd have loved her. If you like me, you'd have really liked her. Like, she's like awesome. She was my prayer person, and you know, I miss her. And while it saddens my heart that y'all didn't get to meet her, it also is quite a joy to know that you didn't get to meet her because you weren't here. And that God has been doing something in our church and drawing you here by his Spirit. It's just amazing to see that. It would kind of be just, it'd probably be really sad if nobody raised their hand and that nobody's been added to our church for 8 years. You know, that'd be really, really sad. And so this is my mom, and this is my favorite picture of her and I. And the next picture I want to show you is there's only two more, so I'll move quick. Nothing like a slideshow on Sunday morning, right? But I think this one should give you some context for me and my family. This is our family's first picture, the first Sunday of More Life Church. So I want you to notice a couple things. I want you to know that my wife has not changed one single bit. I mean, that's not just flattery. That's absolutely true. She's amazing. And I have, on the other hand, aged not quite as gracefully, if you notice that. There's a lot more gray hair in this real life than in this picture. And I think it has to do with these four guys right here somewhat. But Jacob, who's here on the front row, and Audrey, who's here on the front row. Jake's 18, Audrey's 16, Julia's 18. These two are the twins. And Alex, this Wednesday, will go for his learner's permit. And so it's been quite an incredible journey to see what God has done and how far he has brought us. This is actually the very first invitation that we ever sent. You can see we weren't really all that cool with our branding and marketing stuff, but it was the best that we could do, and so we did the best we could. I said all that really because I want you to know that there's some things that I have that I believe about myself, about my life, about my leadership, and about our church that I want to pass on to you. And I want you to see how this weaves together, all right? I want to give you some things that I believe about our church, because you need to know this. You need to know this is not just what I believe, but if I had to, I could take the time and unpack this and give you scriptural reasons for every single one of these things in depth. But we don't have time to do it. Just trust me, I could. And maybe someday we can have that conversation. But I want you to know that this is what I believe. I believe it is God's will for our church to grow. Would somebody please say amen to that? I believe it's God's will for our church to grow. And I'll tell you why I believe that. I believe that because as long as heaven is real and hell is real, we have to believe that God's will for the church is to grow. Because for the church of God to decline, that means hell is winning and heaven is losing. And I believe that Jesus meant what he said and said what he meant. And he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I believe he meant that. And so in order for this to be true, in order for heaven to be real and hell to be real, and us to live with that reality, we have to, by default, agree with this statement. It's God's will for our church to grow because of the reality of heaven and hell. And I really believe that with all my heart. God counts what matters. And people matter. Let me ask this question of Jeannie. I'll put you on the spot. Tell me your baby's name.
Sawyer.
Sawyer. So would it be important? Did you come in with any other kids today? Just Sawyer, right? Would it be important to you that you leave with Sawyer? That's important. How many think it's important that they leave with Sawyer? It's only one. She's not quite a total parent yet. She's just partway there. No, I'm just teasing. Complete parent. And so we count what matters. Our kids matter. People matter. God sees it the same way. His kids matter. Not the ones that are already here only, the ones who are yet to be here as well. And it is God's will for our church to grow because people matter. The second thing I believe is my growth potential is different from yours. I need you to understand that. Don't get lost with me. Just stay with me. My growth potential is different from yours. We live in a world that is so caught up with comparison. We want to compare our lives with other people's, and social media kind of exacerbates this and exaggerates it, really. And we look at someone's timeline or their status posts or their Instagram news feed, and we think we know what their life is like, and we compare our life with theirs. They're on the beach, and they just got engaged, and the girl's got like a 3.5-carat diamond ring on, and they zoom right in on the ring, and you look at it, and you're like, dear Lord, I didn't even give my wife, I got my wife's ring at Walmart. Who knows? You compare. And here's what I want to say to you. We never zoom in on our imperfections. Right. We look at other people's things that we're impressed by, and we compare our lives to theirs, forgetting that God hasn't called you to be like them. He's called you to be like Him. Right. And so stop comparing your blooper reel to someone else's highlight reel. Stop zooming in on your worst and measuring it against someone else's best. You know, so like whatever my growth potential is, it's mine. Whatever yours is yours. And I just need to live up to the potential that God has placed in me. And I don't need to measure that up against anyone or anything else except what Christ has said over my life. Amen? And so lastly, I like this as something I say over my life all the time. I can get better. Turn to your neighbor right quick. Smile at him and say, you can get better. You can get better. And here's what I want you to know. If you don't get better, you'll become critical of those who do. If you don't improve, if you don't grow, if you don't invest in you, what you'll find is you become cynical and critical of those who are moving forward. And you become a stumbling block. You become a hindrance to those individuals. We can all get better. This church or your family can get better. Your work situation can get better. But we need to invite God's vision into our world. Here's what the verse of scripture says. If people can't see what God is doing, He reveals they are most blessed. How many want to be blessed? How many want to be most blessed? Well, then here's what it's connected to. It's connected to what He shows you. It's not connected to what you want. It's connected to what He shows you. People can't see what God is doing. They stumble. They have a hard time. But when God shows you His plan, then that's when we become blessed. That's when we become the most filled with joy, the most filled with peace, the most filled with fulfillment is once we see what He shows. So what is God's vision for our life? It's really simple. I can give it to you in four things. Here's God's vision. God, number one, the number one thing on God's heart is He wants to see lost people saved. Someone says, well, what about me? I'm glad you asked. He wants to see saved people pastored. He wants to see them shepherded. He wants to see them led. He wants to see them guided. He wants to have some guardrails on their world. Not control them, but help point them in the right direction. Once people, see, look, He wants saved people pastored. Now, this is where, listen to me real carefully. This is where a lot of church people park up and camp out. It becomes about you, becomes about me, becomes about my needs. I need, and listen, I know there's a point in time where people need help from others. Their life is hurting and in turmoil. I understand that completely. But can I tell you something? There comes a point in time where you need to get to a place where you leave the medical unit, where you leave the queue, where you leave the triage, where you leave the ER room, where you kind of get discharged from the spiritual hospital and take another step. Like, you, once you've been pastored, I know it's fun and safe to just stay there and say, hey, just kumbaya. And every time I have an issue, I need somebody to come and help me. It's kind of like, you know, you take an analogy of a cruise boat, and too many Christ followers think that their role is to just sit on the sun deck while someone brings them another pina colada. And it's comfortable. It's comfortable. But listen, this isn't the last step of what God wants for your life. Once you've been pastored, once you've been taught, once you've been led, once you've been healed up, once you've been cared for, he then wants to see people who've been pastored. He wants those pastored people trained. Meaning you're healthy, at least relatively healthy as a person can be, and know that there's always going to be issues that you've got to deal with. Once you've got that, then you've got training that happens. You figure out that there's something else for you to do, and you get your life in order, and you stop doing things that used to be good for you to do, and now they're not good for you to do. No matter what that is, we're always growing, we're always getting better, we're always taking another step, and so we're learning what that next step is. And once we've been trained, listen, some people, man, I'm really talking to you. I'm talking to you better than you're talking to me. But once people are trained, they have a tendency to always stay in this mode. And this is what this mode looks like. Well, I just need another class. I just need to learn a little bit more. I need to understand a little bit more about the seven seals. And I need to understand a little bit more about all the Daniel stuff. And I need to find out about the horsemen of the apocalypse. And I'm really curious. And I gotta drill down into all the, I don't really know what the Greek and the Hebrew word means yet. And so I need to figure that out. Can I give you a bit of advice? Don't worry about the Greek and Hebrew. Just worry about the English and do that part. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You don't have to understand all there is about the Greek and the Hebrew to do the part you understand.
Right.
And so we live with this inadequacy that says, I'm never ready, I'm never ready, I'm never ready, I'm never ready. And so we stay stuck here. But that's not the end. There's another level. Here's what God wants next. Here's what he sees for your life. He says, once people are trained, then they need to be mobilized. They need to do something with their training. I've said it to you many, many times. It isn't God's will for you to sit on your blessed assurance. It's God's will for you to be mobilized and go do something. To do what? I don't know. We'll figure it out together. But it's something. It's something. And I'm going to show you how we get at that. Look at this verse. I pray this prayer for you guys on a regular basis. I pray it over my own life. I keep asking that God... let the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So that you can know him better. There's two groups. A person who doesn't know him at all, they need to know him. But once you know him, which is many of you and many watching online, once you know him, Paul's prayer for you is that you know him better. Now, you've never arrived to a place in God where you can't know him better. You can always know him better. And watch, he goes on, he says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This word enlightened means free of darkness in your heart. He wants you to see things in the light in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. He's called every one of you. He's called every one of us. And your calling is connected to your level of hope. Am I getting too deep? Am I going too far? Can I go a little bit further? If you want more hope, here's how simple it is. If you want more hope, know what you're called to at another level. When you step more into what you're called to, then your hope is going to grow. In other words, many of us are waiting for external things to change, but God has not made hope dependent on external things lining up in a certain order for us. He's made hope dependent on you seeing, knowing, and acting on what he's called you to do. So what that means is, no matter what's going on in the world around you, it cannot control the amount of hope that you experience. The only determining factor in your hope is what you see, what you act on, and you watch and see if the hope in your heart doesn't grow when you get more and more excited about what God has called you to do. That's how it works. Like, you find out what you're called to, and hope grows. It just absolutely grows. I want to give you four things, and then I'm going to get out of your way. Four components of a healthy spiritual journey that coincide with God's vision for your life. The first one is this. And it's the vision of our church, and it came out of that prayer. You'd know him better. What's that mean? I want to help you, and we as a church want to help you connect with God. Not just once, all the time. That's what our services are about. We've created services on purpose where you can connect with God, whether you've been in Christ a long time or today's the first day you've ever stepped foot in a church building. That my prayer for you is that we create an environment where people who are close to God and who are far from God can both connect with God in the same environment. I think that's important. See, listen, that means we don't do everything on Sunday morning that we know how to do. We know how to do a whole lot more than what we do. But our objective and our focus is narrow for our weekend services because the first thing on God's heart is to reach the lost. And so we want to help the people who are far from God to connect with God. And we believe the best way that we're called to do that is through our weekend services. You may have a different idea about that, but that's how God has led us. Does that make sense to you? And so we could do a whole bunch of other things to cater to and trying to reach people who are far, who know God well, but our church would be dramatically different. I can see I need to move on. Here's what the verse says. Remain in me and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. In other words, there's got to be connection. Vine, branches, fruit, they're all intertwined. And as soon as they become disconnected, that's when things start dying, right? And so it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Watch this last phrase. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's kind of rude, but it's true. And whenever you find a passage in Scripture where you disagree with God, I have a pastoral suggestion for you. Adjust your attitude and realize he's right, you're not. Right? And I have to do it. Like, apart from God, apart from Christ, it starts with connection. When I'm disconnected from God, I can't do what he's called me to do. There has to be a connection. The second thing is this. I want to help you do this. I want to help you connect with God like you've never connected before. I want to help you find freedom. This is part of God's plan, that lost people become saved and saved people become pastored. Remember when the children of Israel were freed from Egypt and they went out into the wilderness? They were no longer under the control of Pharaoh, right? They were free, but they weren't really free because just because they were out of Egypt didn't mean Egypt was out of them. In other words, there were other things from a previous life that they were still dealing with. And I would submit to you that all of us, just because we've come in Christ, doesn't mean that everything before Christ has been completely done away with. There's still stuff that we're working through. And we've got to help you find freedom. And can I tell you something? Here's how we do it. Therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other that you may be healed. Freedom, guys, is found in groups. People are pastored really, really well in groups. See, when you get into a group, you can't do every verse in the Bible on a Sunday morning. And this idea of confessing your sins and faults to one another has to happen in the context of a smaller group. This group, even what it is today, is too large to have that conversation. Why? Because you don't know each other. There has to be safety in the room to be able to confess those things, to talk about those things, to share openly. I like to say it to you this way, to take off the masks. You find freedom when you take off the mask. And all of us have masks. We all have masks. And when you go to group for the first time, I want you to get in a group or think about getting in a group, pray about getting in a group. When you get in a group, you might be apprehensive about it at first. I have people say, yeah, I want to get in group. I'm going to come to group. And then they never show up to group. Because something happens between the time they said yes until the time they get there. What happened? The mask was off, but they put the mask back on and it keeps them from finding true freedom. Because listen, you'll always be and I'll always be as sick as my secrets. that too heavy for y'all? No. It's true. We'll always, that's why in order to find freedom, we can't do that alone. We need to do life with a group of people. The third thing I want to help you do is grow to your potential. So lost people getting saved, that's connecting with God. Saved people being pastored, that's all of us finding freedom. Pastored people being trained, this is us growing to our potential. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says this, then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, we're not going to be confused by all that stuff. Instead, we're going to speak the truth in love, and that's when we will grow. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. We can help you grow. I want to finish this one. Daniel's going to come and help me. This one's going to be where I ask for you to just kind of lean in, help a brother out. Let me finish this thing strong, okay? Can you help me? Two of you. This is from 2 Peter chapter 3. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. You can grow in this grace. Here's the last one that I want to help you do. And this is where I'm going to really talk to you. We want to help you make a difference. Here's what I know without asking anyone a question. Here's what I know. Every single person in this room, every single person online, every single person that will listen to this podcast or has heard any of this message, here's what I know. Somewhere inside of you is a desire to do this. But I want you to understand something. You cannot do this until first you've connected with God. Until you've been free to some degree. Until you grow. You can't do this the way God's designed for you to do it. But that's okay, because we're here to help you in all those steps. This is the cry of your heart that you're trying to get to. You're trying to get to a place where what you do makes a difference and you know it matters. Because that's the way God's made us. So when you look at this verse, God has given gifts to each of you from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. He's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you gifts. And His desire is that that gift flow through you. So this is what I'm excited about. Let me have your attention. Don't be distracted. Just listen. Just a minute, okay? In 2018, I want you to know what I'm doing in 2018. You ready? I'm doing less in 2018 than I did in 2017. Some of the more cynical minds are thinking, I didn't know that was possible. Listen. There's a shift happening in me and has been happening in me over months. And I need to communicate with you what that shift is. That shift is that, and I don't have language for it yet, so bear with me. I'm doing my best to communicate it. That shift is, you notice that I did not share with you any what if scenario today. Very, very different for me. Usually I would take the lead, share vision, share ideas, share goals, share dreams, dream really, really big. I have the capacity to do that, and I can do it. But here's what I found out was occurring. My ideas and my vision that God had placed in my heart was distracting you from finding what God wants to reveal to you in your heart. And so my job becomes to step off to the side and invite you to dream. Invite you to ask God in. Invite you to ask God, what gift have you given me and what is it that you're wanting me to manage to flow through me? See, some of you this year, you're gonna have ideas that transform our church and that transform our community, and they're gonna come from you. They're gonna come from the pews, not the platform. They're gonna come from the people, not the preacher. See, we're taking a step in the right direction. I don't usually say this, but I feel God in this church this morning, and I am really loving it. Like, I'm like excited. So he's like, yeah, you should be. You're not going to do anything. No. And when you and I say that because I want to bring a little bit of correction to the thought that leading is something. And all of us engaging to make a difference, you watch and see what happens when you give God 21 days and say, God, reveal to me what the calling is on my life. Reveal to me one step. Reveal to me one person. Reveal to me one group. And you watch what God does in 2018 when you give him your life and say, God, reveal to me whatever you want me to see, and I'll follow your direction for my life. We are about to see, guys, if we'll do this together, if I can influence you to take this journey with me, we will experience the power of an unharnessed, unrestrained, unrestricted New Testament church that I don't believe I've ever seen as a firsthand witness. And what I believe is going to happen is God's going to give you ideas. And I'm, for the very first time in my life, and I think maybe it was something God had to work through me, maybe it was a maturing thing, and if I've done you a disservice, I really never meant to do that. But what I see God doing is I'm more excited about helping you make a difference than I am about any ideas that I'll ever have. In fact, I'm not even having any of those ideas. I'm just saying, God, here's the ideas that I'm asking for. God, help me serve our church. Help our staff serve our church so that we can make a difference. Because here's what I know. There's going to be some people in the medical field. You have medical field ideas that transform a medical field community. Educational field. Financial field. Whatever, wherever God has placed you, I want you to know that's your place. Some of you might say, well, I'm a stay-at-home parent. Well, that's awesome. Your kids are an amazing mission, and maybe God will use you in an idea to help other stay-at-home parents. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm, I never know if what is in me is being expressed through me in the same way in which it's in me. So I'm sorry. I'm trying my best. But I think you understand what I'm saying. Somebody nod at me if you understand what I'm saying. So what I'm asking you for is I'm asking you for a commitment to what's God's vision for my life. And then I'm going to tell you the secret. I'm going to tell you the secret to satisfaction, fulfillment, and success. You ready? You ready? Three things. Hear what God says. Do what God says. And leave the results up to him. Don't carry the pressure of that. Hear what God says. Do what God says. And leave the results up to him. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. I can keep going, believe me. But I won't. Some of you need to make a decision today that you want to know him better. Some of you, far from God, been running from God, doing your own thing. And I don't normally say it this strongly, but with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just sense there's some folks in a dangerous path. And I don't want you to be scared, but I want you to make a change. I want you to make a move. The path you're traveling down is not going to get you where you want to go. The only path that's going to get you where you want to go is God's path for your life. God loves you, and he wants his highest and best for you. But what God wants doesn't exactly matter if you don't want what he wants. And so if you know what it means to know him, but you haven't been walking with him, and you want to make a change today, or you say, he hasn't been the first thing in my life, but I want to put him in the first place in my life, then now's your chance. And God, I ask you right now by the power of your spirit to do a miracle in this house and draw people to your side. You said that as a move of your Holy Spirit. No man can do that. It takes the presence and power of God to do it. And so God, I trust you to do that in people's lives today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around. You say, Josh, I want to make a change. I need to know him. I need to know him better. I need to connect with him for the very first time. I need to connect with him because I've been disconnected. If that's you, anyone in this place with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to ask you to get up or walk down front. What I am going to ask you to do is just slip up a hand right where you are right now and say, Josh, that's me. I need to know him better. I need to make a connection with God. Let's put it up there for just a minute. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Good. Thank you, young man. Good for you. Anybody else join these two? Say, yep, that's me. I need to make a move. I'll help you. Thank you, brother. Good for you. Anybody else join these three? That's awesome. That's great. Thank you. You can put them down. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you. How many of you would say, Josh, I'm going to give God 21 days during the prayer journey. And I'm going to make it my mission to see what he reveals to me. And my heart's desire is to make a difference, to hear what he says, obey what he says, and leave the results up to him. All over this place right now, just throw up your hand and say, Josh, that's me. I'm going to give him the 21 days. And I'm going to say yes to that. And I want to know him better, and I want to follow what he says. Good, 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 good. Thank you all over the place. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, I thank you for every heart, for every hand. For those watching online, thank you, Lord, for them, for moving in their home, in their place of work, wherever they are. Lord, I just thank you for drawing people to your side, loving on us, showing us how much we mean to you. Lord, I just thank you that as we give this part of our life to you, you will do that exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, kind of move in our world. We give you thanks for this and so much more. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, guys, can I hear you shout amen?
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.